Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
David McWilliams is here. That's all you need to know. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good to see you. Listen, we wanted to chat to you because as we sit here on the eve of knowing who's going to be the next president of the United States, there's this big sort of looming cloud. If Donald Trump gets back in, what does it mean for us?
It's huge. It's huge because not just Donald Trump, but I think America is going through the birthing pains of a new political epoch. And by that, I mean everything we focus on Trump, the individual. Mm-hmm. But it's Trumpism isn't going away. And if you look at the way, so in our game, Claire, we tend to look at politics of 2 years, 5 years, an election, these events, right? But maybe a better way to look at politics is to look at big political, almost epochs, right, which could last for 4 or 5 decades. And I think America's going through a change in an epoch. So, for example, from, let's say, 1945 to 1980, they had one epoch, which was the big state and trade unions, and it was very much a democratic centralist country. Then from Reagan to now, you have a very, very neoliberal country. Mm-hmm. So you have low taxes, deregulation, you have free movement of capital, of people, of ideas, and goods, of course. And that period is coming to an end.
So you could look at Trump and go, well, he's an aberration. Like, he's a guy who was the presenter of The Apprentice.
Yes.
You know, bit of a buffoon, somebody who's a lucky general, all of those things. You're saying, no, he brings with him a whole ethos that's going to be there for a long time
to
come.
Yeah, so I think America's going to go into a 3 or 4 decade new epoch. Trumpism is going to be the central ideology. And what it is we protect ourselves, we isolate ourselves, we have two big oceans between the Europeans and the Asians, we don't need them. We kick out immigrants, and what we have, we hold. And what that means for Ireland is that us being, as I always say, kind of Connecticut with very bad weather, so this sort of adjunct state to America with American money, American capital, the multinationals, mm-hmm. a very, very close relationship with the White House as well on a sort of a practical day-to-day level, that may well be coming to a close. So there's kind of a golden era whereby Ireland's kind of snuck in underneath the states. And I always think that probably the biggest event in terms of the calendar is next Saturday is the 35th anniversary, the fall of the Berlin Wall. And that was the moment that Ireland capitalized on the fact that the Americans said, OK, communism is over. The Cold War is over. We have won. We can allow our capital to migrate. We can allow our companies to migrate.
And we said, we're here.
Hi, guys, it's us. And of course, everybody thought at the time, Claire, that all the money and all the technology and all the opportunity would go to Poland, Eastern Germany, Czech Republic, those places around the Berlin Wall. And it didn't. It came here. Nobody expected that. And the reason I think it is, of course, the tax system is one, but also Americans like cultural proximity. Mm-hmm. The English language, the fact we're not that far away from them.
And the links that go back over generations.
The Irish Americans, all those sort of things. So in the last 35 years, since the end of the Berlin, or since the fall of the Berlin Wall, the end of the Cold War, Ireland has probably more than any other country in the world benefited from an America that's open. Now, Trump is saying America's going to close. America's going to retrace its steps. America's going to retract its power, take its money back, take its jobs back. Now, we know that Trump says lots of things. But the idea of Trumpism, you see it in Brexit, you see it in France with Le Pen, you see it with the ADF, this idea of nationalism,
closing
it down, protectionism,
yeah,
of the world outside is making us anxious. We don't really know what to do with it. So what we do is we hunker down. And that means that countries like ourselves that have benefited enormously on opening up will find themselves mm-hmm. quite exposed. And it requires, I think, a level of strategic thinking here in Ireland that maybe we haven't had for a couple of decades.
Yeah, and now we've got J.D. Vance, who absolutely believes in the ideology, buys into it, perhaps even goes further. And we have Project 2025, which Donald Trump says, that's not mine. But actually, all the guys who worked for you the last time wrote the thing, which details all of the protectionism, bringing the money back, all of that. Now, he's not elected. Let's look at that scenario. We have Kamala Harris in the White House in January. Does that mean things remain the same?
It means more the same. Then it's a continuation of everything we've known since Bill Clinton. And I go back that far, since 1992, it is America, the defender of what they would regard as democracy, America, the global policeman, America, the country that puts global cooperation first, all that sort of stuff, free trade, free movement of capital. So basically, Kamala Harris is essentially a continuation of what went before, mm-hmm. with a few changes here and there, right?
But we lose that link that we have to the White House, you know, that we had there with Biden. You mentioned Clinton, Barack Obama and his plaza in the middle of our...
And was that great book, I think, by Conor O'Clery called The Greening of the White House, maybe published about 30 years ago. And it was about how the four horsemen of the apocalypse... the four horsemen, you know, the Ted Kennedys and those guys... opened up, sort of cleaved open the White House to Ireland at a time when the Democratic president, Bill Clinton, was very, very open. And then, of course, you have the Good Friday Agreement, which for him was one of the big successes of his international presence. That's all over. And that's the unfortunate thing, because with Trump, you have isolationism. With Kamala Harris, I think you're talking about somebody who has a Californian worldview, which is, in effect, an Asian view. If you go to California, you know the way if you go to New York, it feels like Europe. Mm-hmm. Whereas you go to California, it feels like a new country. Mm-hmm. It feels like a new civilization. And it's not Irish-American or Jewish-American or Italian-American. It's Korean-American. It's Vietnamese.
And they are Indian. The center of their world.
And Kamala, of course, is half Indian, half Caribbean.
So what do we do, David? How do we deal with this?
I think maybe one of our mistakes in the past, because we are so disposed as a nation to the Democratic Party, has been not to cultivate friends within the Republican hierarchy, and particularly within the MAGA side of the Republicanism. And the fascinating thing is Irish America is quite taken by MAGA. Mm-hmm. You know, we tended to think that Irish America was a Democratic bloc, but since the Reagan Democrats in the late 80s and all the way through, Irish America is very, very much part of the MAGA movement as well. So I think the first thing is not to put all your eggs in one basket in a two-horse race, right? I mean, this is the bizarre thing. We don't know what's going to happen tonight, but we know it's down the line, or down to the wire. So the notion that we would put all our chips on the Democrats, I don't think is a clever move. Mm-hmm. The second move, I think, is obviously Trump 2.0 is a different creature. I think you can probably discount a lot of the campaign stuff. I mean, he was saying yesterday he was going to abandon income tax for tariff tax and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Very full 19th century. But I think in Ireland we've got to realise that we are very exposed to the vagaries of the American economic, political and social cycle. And that is part of the reason we've done very well in the last 30 years. But it's also a massive fragility. It's a massive, massive fragility.
Yeah, but for people who would find the MAGA movement unpalatable, do we have to swallow that down and go, no, this is about the bottom line?
No, I don't think we do. I think that most people find lots of what Trump stands for, not just the personality, which is kind of pretty offensive. As I've always said, if your daughter came home with a creature like Trump, you wouldn't be very happy, right? You'd be sitting at home.
Fair enough,
okay?
I'd say.
I think it's just to understand that we are going, I'll come back to this idea, that we're going through the birthing pains of a new epoch. And that new epoch has got different rules, different standards, different objectives. Ireland did extremely well. And I think kind of flukily, I don't think we had really figured it out from the old epoch, the liberal epoch, which was something that Reagan introduced, but actually Clinton really solidified. And then Clinton all the way through to Obama, all the way through from Bush Jr. and Senior, Obama, Biden. It's a very similar sort of suite of beliefs.
Yeah.
And I think now we've just got to realise that we are moving into a different era.
Yeah,
and American leads, and we will follow.
Well, look, you know, one of the issues that people look at when they look at a Trump presidency is what will happen in Ukraine. He says, oh, I'll end the war. And people go, well, that means, from what you've said in the past, you're going to cede ground to Vladimir Putin. Now, I know you've been to Ukraine, haven't you, over the last little while?
I was in Ukraine twice last year. To bring the festival we're doing this weekend to Ukraine.
Kilkenomics.
Yeah, and we spoke to Zelensky's people and they were really happy with it. And I'll talk to you about Kilkenomics in a sec. But the idea was that as the war seemed to be going Ukraine's way, so we're talking between January and June of last year, there was a lot of talk of restructuring, recovery, etc. And I thought, you know, why don't we do something? Why don't we bring this over there? So the Ukrainians were incredibly supportive. Lots of Ukrainians came over to Kilkenny last year to see how we do the whole thing, etc. But now, of course, because the war has gone the other way, there's no point in going there right now.
Right.
And also, it's a bit distasteful to bring an economics festival to a country whose very existence is in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
But what was fascinating about Ukraine for me was how close it is. You just get a flight from Dublin to a place called Lublin in Poland. You get a bus down to the border and you get a train. And the next morning you're there. You're in Kyiv. So it's very real. And the Ryanair flight from Dublin was just full of Ukrainians. And people said, oh, you're mad going there. And I was looking at these, you know, old Ukrainian grannies. I said, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Just follow them.
Yeah.
But it's clear that Trump will do a peace for territory deal with Putin. And that will put him on a collision course with the European Union. Because from Finland all the way down to Romania, you have people who have borders with either Russia, Ukraine, or Belarus. That is what the MAGA movement means in reality. It's, we do not want to police the world. There is a dispute going on between two, what Trump would regard as broadly similar societies. He would do a deal. And I think that would then cede Donbass to the Russians. But of course, then Europeans think, well, this is appeasement. This is Chamberlainian. We've seen this before in Czechoslovakia. We've seen this before in 1938.
And we know what happens.
And we know what happens. But then Trump will say, okay, you pay for your defence. That's one of his big things.
Yeah, and you know, he gave licence for countries in NATO that he felt weren't paying up to be attacked.
Which is just because you don't like something doesn't mean you should cease to try understand it. That's the key.
Yeah, as difficult as that may be.
Yes.
So you've a busy weekend ahead.
We have the Kilkenomics Festival of Comedy and Economics, which is down in Kilkenny. It's in its 14th year. It was a mad idea to put economists and comedians together on stage, and it's worked extremely well.
In a financial crash, might
it
we
was,
say.
It was. What happened was I had presented here the panel for a season.
Yeah.
So I got to know a lot of the comedians. And once you get to know comedians, you realise they're more intelligent than anybody else. They are the cleverest people, the quickest, the fastest, the best MCs, the best interviewers. Dare I say, even the best, well, present company, except Claire, of course, the best presenters. And you could see that by using comedians, you break down a lot of the nonsense of economics, the highfalutinness of economics. And in a way, if you use comedians as MCs, it gives everybody else the permission to ask the question. Because if the funny guy asks the question or the funny girl asks the question, it's delivered in such a way that suddenly the place becomes more democratic. And we have 70 shows over 4 days, kicking off on Thursday. And again, the theme is, if there is a theme, an overarching theme, it's this idea of moving from one epoch to another, that we're in this sort of no man's land between two epochs.
Flux.
In fact, there's a really good session between Fintan O'Toole and Nassim Taleb. Nassim Taleb wrote The Black Swan on Friday at 5 o'clock, which is called Power, Corruption and Lies, but it's just a sort of a snapshot of the world after the American election and what it means, and Gaza and lots of other issues. So I think that festivals like this do is they just bring economics to a different audience.
Yeah, well, listen, economics is all common sense, isn't it?
It is all common sense.
So, you know, make it accessible, which is what you've been doing for 14 years. It's kilkenomics.ie, isn't it?
.com,
where people go if you want to spend the weekend in Kilkenny and have a
And who doesn't want to spend the weekend in Kilkenny?
It's a
great place to spend the weekend.
David, great to see you. Thanks for coming in. That's David McWilliams. Back after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.